Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Listening to the Tamar Yonos Show here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. The year 2019 has arrived on the civil calendar for the Jewish people. We celebrated New Year's already 3 months ago, at least. But we're not going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about something else, because as all New Year's come and we do what's called a cheshbon nefesh in our lives, we realize, you know, where we have to improve, and we make our resolutions. Well, many people make New Year's resolutions on this day. And everybody is also waiting for some Redeemer or Messiah to arrive and herald in a new era of peace and godliness. Now, the Jews call the Messiah the Mashiach. And we are waiting for this dynamic figure, maybe not too unlike Moses, to come and teach the world about godliness and bring in a more peaceful world. The Christians and the Muslims also believe in a Messiah, albeit according to what their religions say. So the question we're asking on the show today is, who is the real Messiah? Will the real Messiah please stand up? And when he comes, how will we know he's the one? What will he have to accomplish? Will the world accept him? Or will wars first be waged? How does the Messianic era unfold step by step? Well, we are going to be speaking today with Rabbi Ariel Bar Tzadok from KosherTorah.com, and he's going to be answering those questions. If you have any questions or comments you want to call in, feel free to join us on the air. Our show is airing live if it's between midnight to 1 a.m. U.S. Eastern Time on Monday night, or if it's between 7 to 8 a.m. Tuesday morning, holy time, right here in the land of Israel. And I want to say hi to everybody who's listening from all over the world, the United States, Canada, Israel, Australia, Norway, etc., etc. Great to see you here. Join me in the chat room. It's the orange button on our player or on our website.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
You're listening to the Tamar Yonos Show here at Israel News Talk Radio. Who is the real Messiah? Or would the real Messiah please stand up? And when he comes, how will we know that he's the one? What will he have to accomplish? Will the world accept him? Or will wars first be waged? And how does the Messianic era unfold step by step? Well, we want to invite you to call into the show if you have any comments or questions during the show. We're going to be talking about this subject with our guest, Rabbi Ariel Bar Tzadok. Rabbi Ariel Bar Tzadok is a world-renowned expert on Jewish mysticism. He studied in some of the finest Sephardic yeshivot in Jerusalem, including Porat Yosef in the Old City, and he received his Haredi Orthodox rabbinic ordination from Rabbi Yaakov Peretz, who was the dean or Rosh Yeshiva at Kollel Heichal Pinchas in Jerusalem. Rabbi Ariel was blessed to become the private student of the renowned Kabbalist Rabbi Meir Levy, who was the foremost student of the leading Kabbalist of Jerusalem, Rabbi Mordechai Sharabi. May their memories be for a blessing. Today, Rabbi Ariel runs the Kosher Torah School, which you can find online at Kosher Torah School, at koshertorah.com. And over the years, Rabbi Ariel has been featured in numerous newspaper articles, radio, talk shows, and television interviews. He's been a guest on NBC TV's national primetime series, Ancient Prophecies, and Fox TV's Millennium Prophecies, and other special programs aired on the History Channel, such as Ancient Aliens. And I believe that he was on Ancient Aliens playing in Israel off the History Channel last night here in Israel. Welcome to the show, Rabbi Ariel Bar Tzedok.
To everybody, Shalom Aleichem.
Good to have you here. All right. So everybody is waiting for the Messiah to come. There are discrepancies between the three major religions of Judaism, and then there's Christianity and Islam. Islam has the Mahdi. Christianity is waiting again for JC. The Jewish people are waiting for the Messiah, who's going to complete everything he needs to do. How do we know who's the real Messiah?
Well, it's kind of like, well, whose authority or whose scriptures or whose point of view are we going to accept? See, this is the real problem. Remember this. In Judaism, we have what the Bible teaches about the Messiah, but that has been subject to numerous levels of interpretation, literally over millennia. Forget about Christian understandings, which came later. Even our own Jewish understandings are multiple, some even to the point of being contradictory or possibly mutually exclusive to one another. This is all summarized in the very wise words of our great sage Maimonides, wherein which he stated that the details of the coming of the Messiah are clouded, they are covered in secrecy, a reference to what is, referenced in the book of Daniel about concealing the end of days. No one knows what is going to happen, how it's going to happen, or when it's going to happen. And therefore, Maimonides concludes, the details are not essential to our faith and service of God. You see, essentially, our focus is this world, the here and the now, and how we must serve God on a daily basis. So if we wanted to come and ask, who is the Messiah? Well, that's a good question. Who are we going to ask that? Now, let's look within the context of our own Judaism. As you very well know, like here in the United States and the rest of the Western world, we have serious social divisions between groups, ideas, beliefs, and the like. Well, even in our own religious communities, we have that. So you might have, if the Messiah were to come as a normal human being, one group which would embrace him and others who would reject him. How then can the Messiah come to be accepted by all? In your introduction, you made a reference to wars. Is that really the way that we need to bring peace on earth, is through the death of billions? I'm sorry, that's not a choice I am willing to embrace. When we look towards the religious ideas and beliefs of others, Christianity, as you very well know, grew and developed out of our own Judaic beliefs. Christianity believes that it is the authoritative interpretation of our Jewish scriptures. But remember, from our Jewish point of view, scriptures are subject to numerous interpretations. We read that in Talmud, we read that in Midrash, and our rabbis are the first to say, they do not speak in the name of the Lord. Rabbinic Judaism is not prophecy. It is the ideas, the beliefs of our sacred rabbis with brilliant, wise ideas. And that's why you can have them contradictory. Christianity grew out of these various opinions, which we in Hebrew call Midrash. When the original authors of the Christian tradition adopted Jewish ideas and beliefs. They were adopting opinions. Unfortunately, the Christian authorities in the first centuries were not aware of the Judaic nature of subjective understanding, objectified Jewish teachings, and rather than interpret them as being one opinion, interpreted them as being the opinion, and has since fought and argued about correct doctrines and beliefs and faiths. So here in the United States, as you may very well know, you have numerous different churches, and they always emphasize correct doctrine. In other words, you could have two churches on opposite corners in the same town, on the same block, and one church will say they don't have the correct doctrine and the like, and there's division upon division upon division.
Right.
So if and when the Messiah is to come, Messiah. We didn't even mention the concept of Al-Mahdi, which is found in Quranic teachings, which itself is based upon Judaic teachings. So think about it from this point of view. If our Jewish Messiah were to come, and in fulfillment of rabbinic Judaic prophecy or biblical prophecy, and he declares himself to be Melech HaMashiach, the Christians, 2 billion strong around the world.
Can you just translate that for our listeners?
King Messiah.
Okay.
I'm certain that even our Christian audience knows those words. The King Messiah. If the King Messiah were to come, right, the Jewish Messiah, in front of 2 billion Christians and say, I am not Yeshua. I am not Jesus Christ. The Christians around the world would automatically condemn him and most likely consider him to be the Antichrist, which is a very strong character found not only in Christian literature, but we also have its similar counterpart as the Armillos character in our Judaic literature. So how is the Messiah going to convince 2 billion Christians that he is the Messiah because he's not Jesus? Needless to say, that would not be a messianic character for Christians. If he was the Muslim Al-Mahdi, then obviously we would have the same problems with 2 billion Christians or whatever. So the real Messiah, if he is to come by natural means, probably is not going to please many people. And a point that Maimonides makes is that the Messiah has to do certain things. The first thing is to bring world peace. That's a prerequisite. Who today, amongst all the different religious factions, can bring world peace? Well, when you find that person, not only who claims to make the claim to want to bring world peace, but actually accomplishes it. Yes, there is something in our Bible called the New Covenant, Jeremiah 31, where in which it states that the law of the Lord, the Torah, our Torah, will be etched on individuals' hearts, meaning that that which we call in Hebrew the Yetzer Hara, evil inclination, will be no more. We will all rise together as a global community in unity, hand in hand as brothers and sisters in humanity, wanting to build and make a better world. As far as I'm concerned, whoever can bring that about is welcome, in my opinion, to be the Messiah, because that's indeed what a messianic character needs to do. When it comes to the simple things like, and I say simple, building the third temple, there is a tradition both in the Talmud, rabbinic Judaism, and in Kabbalistic Judaism from the Zohar, that the temple comes ready built out of heaven. And this is a point that I've made for my audience in the Ancient Aliens television program. If you saw some big structure coming down out of the sky, we might not interpret that as a temple coming down. We might interpret that as some kind of a spacecraft, mothership invasion. If the Messiah truly, in quote, comes out of the skies, wouldn't it be interpreted in that light as well? So to answer the question, how are we going to recognize the Messiah? The answer is not going to be by looking towards a natural order of human events, because anybody can make such a claim and try to perpetuate it through violence. That's going on around the world right now. What we will have, according to our beliefs, is something like it was in the days of Moses in Egypt, a supernatural intervention, which is literally going to bring a proper, holy, sacred, blessed, and I'll use this word many people might not like, new world order.
But okay, you know what, Rabbi? Well, let's hold it right there. Yeah. The music is coming on. We have to go to a break.
All righty.
When we get back, we're going to be speaking more about this, what the Messiah has to do, and really, how is the world going to accept the Messiah when the Christians are expecting one character and the Muslims, the Mahdi, etc. We'll be right back, and if you like, call into the show.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
So who is the real Messiah, and what will he have to accomplish, and how will the world accept him? You have Christians who are expecting JC, you have the Muslims who are expecting the Mahdi, you have the Jewish people who are waiting for a dynamic human being, but somebody very dynamic to come and to teach the world about godliness and bring in peace. So one of them, or both of them, or all of them are going to be arguing who is the real Messiah. And here to tell us more about that, we have as our guest Rabbi Ariel Bar Tzadok from the Kosher Torah School, which you can find at koshertorah.com. Rabbi, when we got off on the last segment, we were talking about some of the things that the Messiah had to do. He needs to bring world peace, not promise it, not say he's going to do it, but actually bring it, to know that he has proved himself as a Messiah. Tell us about the Messiah. Is he going to be a divine figure? Is he going to be a human being?
Well, again, this is actually covered right in the Bible itself, in the book of Deuteronomy, where in which the prophecy states that God is going to raise up a prophet to us like Moses. So the Messiah is supposed to be a character, an individual, who is going to have an historical impact in the same way as did Moses. So in that respect, no, we don't have in our Torah tradition divine beings. This is a very foreign concept to us in Judaism.
Right.
Now, can we have an angel incarnate as a human being? Well, you can go into the ideas of the connection between Enoch, the man, and the archangel Metatron, and there is some discussion and debate there, but Metatron is not divine. We don't have a concept of divinity becoming human. This is one of the significant differences between Judaism and Islam, for that matter, against Christianity. Most people do not know that even in the great mosque on the Temple Mount, the etchings inside Arabic say that, you know, Yeshua is not the Son of God. This is a very, very big important point. So no, we don't have a concept of a divine character. And I know that's very, very offensive to many Christians. Sorry, I don't mean to be offensive. I'm just, you know, acknowledging the matter here. What does a prophet do? Well, like Elijah, I mean, a prophet is a man endowed by heaven with divine authority, who is going to act at behest of heaven to bring world peace, not war, not violence. This is the messianic prophecies that we read clearly in Isaiah, in Jeremiah, even in Ezekiel. Must there be great and horrible wars? No. Those are conditional based upon, you know, our behaviors and the choices that we make. We can choose the path of peace if we so choose.
Rabbi, I want to jump in here for a second, sure, if I can, and just say that a lot of Christians believe that Jesus is the Son of God and he's the Messiah. Mm-hmm. According to Judaism, First of all, there's no son of God. Okay, we're all the children of God. But in any case, not in the way that they believe. But in any case, whoever the Messiah is, we do not pray to the Messiah, correct?
No, of course. Of course. The Messiah, like I said before, there is no divine character like that in Judaism. The concept of the Son of God in Christianity today came out of a Jewish midrashic, moralistic, legendary teaching. And it was unfortunately, when adopted into Gentile hands, it lost its original Judaic context. King David is called the Son of God. All right. We are called the children of God. These are symbolic, metaphorical terms of poetic honoring, not something actual and literal. As you know, the foundation of Judaism is that God has no form, no semblance of form. And therefore, to think that the entire universe can be somehow concentrated into and put into a human form is so fundamentally contradictory to anything in the Torah framework that it has no place in our understanding. Christianity is different in that respect. It's not a point of contention. If you allow me, let me share with you something I shared a long time ago with a very, very famous evangelist who was a guest along with me on one of the television programs I did many years ago. I said to him, based upon the prophecy in the book of Zechariah, which is a symbolic, poetic statement that the day will come when his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives. And we interpret that to be the coming of the Messiah, the feet of the Messiah, if you will. Based upon, again, that symbolic, poetic language, I turned to this evangelist and I said, I pray that you and I should both be alive on that day, that the two of us can come together to stand and bow before the King Messiah. And together, our words should not be, could you solve our argument and tell us your name? But rather, we would say together, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And this is my message to the Christian community. We have a lot more that unites us than divides us. And it's important that we recognize that. We do not have the answers that people want to have. Who is this? How will we know? We don't know. We will not know. We've been arguing and waiting for literally millennia. And it has led to anger and violence and bloodshed, all of which is a horrible crime against the Lord, whatever our religions.
I just want to say here that the King Messiah, whoever that will be, is a person, a human being, that we will not be praying to. We do not pray to the Messiah. We pray only to the God above, to the one God, correct?
That is what the Bible says. That is what our Jewish Bible says. Okay? That is something very well understood in our context. And again, as you very well know, our Christian brothers and sisters have a different view on that. We're not going to win any debates by arguing and debating back and forth as to the meaning of this scripture or that. Something that I did, unique as an Orthodox rabbi, as many of my peers, they tried to argue and debate with the missionary crowd. I don't. I instead went, and this is available on my website publicly for anyone. I went into the Christian Bible and I taught the entire Gospel of Matthew from an Orthodox Jewish point of view to try to show the authentic Judaic origins of many Christian ideas and beliefs and how they were originally understood. And I addressed the issues of the beliefs of what is called to be the virgin birth and other areas and ideas and beliefs. No other Orthodox rabbi goes into this, but I have. For those of you who in the audience want to go to my website, koshertorah.com, you go do a search there. You'll find the entire Gospel of Matthew covered from an Orthodox Jewish point of view. Again, I believe that if we really want to bring the Messiah, if we have any contributory effect here, then it's by building bridges between our communities and to recognize and respect the differences that we have. And in my opinion, that's very, very important. Overcoming the anti-Semitism, the prejudice, even amongst many here in the Christian community who will love Israel and love the Jewish people in general, Still, unfortunately, we have those individuals who may be anti-Semitic and prejudiced, believing Jews are going to hell because we don't believe in their interpretation of Jesus. And again, we want to help build the bridges and overcome these misunderstandings through what our Bible teaches. Darkei Noam Divrei Shalom, pleasant ways and words of peace. That is the true spirit of the Messiah, rather than arguing over theological debates. Theologies, very bluntly, they're different. Theologies are going to be mutually exclusive of one another. That's just the way it is. That's scholarly, accurate, and honest. So rather than debate on what divides, we have a lot more that unites. The fact that your program right now has an audience of so many people around the world who are not Jewish, who are connected to greater Israel, is proof of this. And in my opinion, very possibly, a fulfillment of the messianic prophecy of the ingathering of the nations, where in which it says, you know, that the temple in Jerusalem we'd call the house of prayer for all peoples. Building those bridges right now with this radio program. Do you ever think of that? You're actually possibly fulfilling biblical prophecy right here and now.
Well, we all hope that we're serving God in the way that he wants us to. So I want to talk about signs. We have some people in the chat room who are talking about that, Russia has to invade Crimea before the Messiah can come, or this has to happen before the Messiah comes. What do we know from this?
Okay. People want to understand signs. We have numerous signs, number of which are recorded in the Talmud. And I did 6 hours of lessons on the signs of the coming of the Messiah from the Talmud, which is available on my YouTube channel. People can go to the Kosher Torah School on YouTube, and I have a number of my lessons available online there. On my website, koshertorah.com, I have hours and hours of classes taught from the book of Zechariah, from Daniel, from Isaiah, all covering messianic topics. So people who want to study these things in detail, it's there. What about signs? Signs are always subject to interpretation. I have found people over many years looking at everything in the news saying it's a sign. When the old President Bush was president of the United States, people said that was a sign. When President Obama was elected, people said that was a sign. Now we have President Trump, and this is everything is a sign. Mm-hmm. I remember once having a discussion with a rabbi in Jerusalem who was absolutely convinced over 10 years ago that within a certain period of time, the Russian troops would be invading Jerusalem. And he said to me, he was so convinced of this matter that he bet his own son a brand new bicycle that it was going to happen. I laughed. And I said, you better save up your money and buy the bike.
All right. Hold it right there. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa. Each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and we're asking the question, who is the real Messiah? When he comes, how will we know that he's the one? And in this last segment with you, Rabbi, our guest, Rabbi Ariel Bar-Tzedok from KosherTorah.com, Rabbi, I want to ask you again, what does the Messiah, the Mashiach, have to accomplish so we know that he's the one?
Okay. We actually mentioned this. We got, interrupted by a previous break there. But I was mentioning a reference to the very famous prophecy of the new covenant, the authentic one, recorded in the prophet Jeremiah chapter 31, where in which it clearly states that God will place his Torah, all right, etched in the hearts of human beings. It says, no longer will anyone have to know me, for they will all know me from great to small. We can refer to this as some semblance of cosmic consciousness, global awareness of the reality of spirituality, of the spiritual truths. They'll be innate and natural to us. Well, we're a long way from that. So ultimately, how does that come about? You'll notice that Jeremiah does not say the Messiah does this. You see, we have to really distinguish between what we can call the character, the individual of the Messiah, who in the biblical term is always a political and not a spiritual character. It is only a Christian idea that the Messiah comes to, in quote, save us from our sins, our souls, or anything. That is a very foreign concept in Judaism. There's nothing to be saved from in Judaism. We don't have a concept of eternal damnation or disconnection from God. These are all Christian ideas. So the whole concept of you must be born again, or you must be saved, is foreign to Judaism. The Messiah in Judaism is very simple from the Bible, the restoration of the Davidic monarchy. He is a prophet, a bloodline descendant of House David, who is going to restore a form of government. With that being said, we also have in conjunction to that the Messianic era, a time when we will have global peace, the restitution of that which we lost in the Garden of Eden with the famous eating of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. So this is that process. This is the original and authentic, and I used the term before and I will again, the original and authentic New World Order, not under some evil dominion of controlling, manipulating humanity, but like the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai, like the meaning of the Exodus, which is why we compare the Messiah to Moses, true freedom, true emancipation, where in which symbolically and literally, we become free of our modern-day Egypt. And together, globally, we become united. There are those who interpret the signs of modern-day strife between the global religions, between secularism and certain other religions in the world as being, if you will, signs of the time. But like I cover in many of my classes, many things can be interpreted as signs of the times. Like in the wise words of King Solomon, there's nothing new under the sun. We've had signs and many a signs, wars and rumors of wars. It's actually a reference from the Christian Bible. For millennia, every generation has had this. So again, going back to Maimonides, like we began our discussion, our Judaic emphasis is not looking for signs, even though part of our faith is to wait daily for the coming of the Messiah. What we do in Judaism, as you very well know, with what we call the concept of mitzvot, good deeds, fulfilling the commandments of God, is that we take the steps day by day to build the bridges, to build that unity, that awareness of spirituality, that awareness of the divine within us. That's our spiritual development, our mystical development, our meditative bonding with God. Hopefully with the intent to, again, build bridges between our different communities, wipe out the stigma of our differences. We're all going to have different theologies. We're all going to have different views. A Catholic is not going to agree with a Baptist. A Sunni is not going to agree with a Shia.
So you're saying figure of the Messiah is going to come in and he's going to be able to convince everybody that they should get past their structured beliefs that they've been taught, and he will teach them that he is the Messiah?
Well, again, he can teach all he wants, and he's going to be ignored. He's going to have to do something a little bit more than just teach or preach, fight a war. Because you think about it, if Messiah is going to come and fight a war against all who won't believe in him, there aren't going to be many people left on earth. And I don't think that's the God's glory at all. I don't think that's God's intent or plan. Somehow, somewhere, the Messianic era is bigger than the character of the Messiah as an individual himself.
So you're talking about social justice?
I'm talking about the raising of spiritual consciousness, global spiritual consciousness. That is what the Messianic era is all about. It's far more than just social justice. That has to do with just jurisprudence. We have to talk about morality. We have to talk about raising the context of global consciousness in which we fulfill the fundamental law of loving our neighbors ourselves. This is what Judaism is all about. You remember the wise words that Hillel, the great sage, said when somebody came and asked him some of Judaism. He said, what you yourself don't like, don't do to any others. All right? That's the whole of the law and the prophets. Zil Gamar, go and do it. That became the foundation of the golden rule in Christianity. Again, Yeshu, Jesus, was quoting Hillel. And that's the foundation. This is, again, why I try to teach people to help them understand the Jewish origins of these teachings, hopefully to cultivate a greater respect for our sages and our Judaic teachings. Is the Messiah as a man able to do this? I don't know. Moses has certainly accomplished a great deal. I certainly hope and pray that the Messiah and with him Elijah the prophet can do whatever they can accomplish. In our world of such great strife, I don't know if this is an individual job. We speak of the spirit of the Messiah. We speak of the spirit of Elijah. All right, the Baal Shem Tov, the famous founder of the Hasidism movement, said that each of us have a spark of the Messiah within us, and that when we activate, cultivate, discover that spark within us and bring the Messiah individually, to ourselves as a personal spiritual revelation, that is then the way to build this global spiritual consciousness.
You should be healthy. Refuah shlema umehira. I just want to go over this because we only have two more minutes left, and I want to say basically the Messiah has to accomplish one world peace. He's not going to be a figure that's going to rise and say, "I'm going to bring you peace." He's not going to be the one, meaning like Obama, who won the Peace Prize. He actually has to bring peace. He's going to build the third temple. He's going to neutralize idolatry in the world. People will know of God and godliness, and he will bring our hearts together so we won't want to be killing each other. The lion will lie down with the lamb, as they say, right? And anything else that you want to end with?
Again, this is the point. Rather than look towards an individual or for an individual, the point that the Baal Shem Tov makes, and I agree with personally, we have to look inside ourselves to cultivate those spiritual elements that need to be developed globally. We don't need some demigod. We don't need some antichrist who wants to say, I have a worldview of how the world needs to be. That's what Adolf Hitler said. That's what Joseph Stalin said. That's what Mao Zedong said. And look what their dreams led to. The deaths of millions. We don't need that. That's not the way of God.
What about a magnanimous person like Moses, somebody who comes up and he's like Moses?
Moses had authority. Moses had power. Moses brought us to Sinai where we received the Torah. We're supposed to receive the Torah again, etched in our hearts, Jeremiah 31. When we have that, we will all know the truth. There will no longer be any kind of debate or discussion. You won't be able to deny what your own eyes see and your own heart knows. That's what we hope and pray for.
So working on ourselves from the inside in order to make ourselves be worthy of a and to bring ourselves up to the level of living in a messianic era where there will be world peace. But again, is there going to be this charismatic figure that's going to come into the world, be born as a man, but be somebody very dynamic and charismatic, and is going to be a real leader and bring our hearts together and teach us about God?
Well, again, that is what the prophecies say. But again, just like you yourself mentioned, the focus in Judaism, and I might add even in Christianity, and I might even add in Islam, the Sufi traditions itself, speak about the internalization, the realization of the internalization, and bringing it out. So when this charismatic individual comes, this individual will be speaking to our hearts, and something within us will recognize that truth, those truths, and that is what will build the bridges. So we got to open the doors within so that we can hear with our ears from without.
Fascinating. Rabbi Ariel Bar Tzadok, very interesting. Getting ourselves ready for when the time comes, but we can bring the time sooner if we work on ourselves. Everybody can go check out his lectures and more at his website, koshertorah.com. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com homepage, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.